Do we, as Christians, need to keep on sinning? Welcome to the Call to Obedience Radio Ministry. I'm Pastor Schulze. This radio broadcast comes to you every week at this time over the station. Let us pray. Our Father, we pray that by thy Holy Spirit, that our eyes will be open to see thy marvelous truth of salvation today. For we ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen. Now, dear ones, in our continued study of the first Epistle of John, we want to choose this text for our starter. 1 John chapter 2, verse 6. It says, "He that says he abideth in him ought himself also to walk even as he," that is, as Jesus, "walked." And do you know what that means? It means that Jesus wants to dwell and live in your body, even as he lived in his own body 2,000 years ago. In other words, he wants you to walk even as he walked in holiness of life. And that means that Jesus does not want us to sin. So the essence of the second chapter of 1 John is expressed in this verse: "My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not." That's what Jesus said. Didn't he to the woman who committed adultery? He said to her, "Go and sin no more." That's what Jesus said to a man who was healed at the pool of Bethesda: "Go and sin no more." We have to get this into our hearts. It is God's will that we go and sin no more. So John here reflects the mind and the heart of God. He says, "I write this unto you," he says, "that ye sin not." However, John then continues by saying, "But if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous." There's hope for us to come back to the Lord, but God's desire, his intention, is that we sin not. So John writes this letter. He says, "I'll tell you about sin, and what is really on my heart and on God's heart is don't sin. Don't sin anymore." Do you see, my friend, that in this little phrase here that John uses, that ye sin not, John gives the church family all the Ten Commandments in four words. All the Ten Commandments are here in four words: that ye sin not. If ye sin not, my friend, you keep all the Ten Commandments. If ye sin not, you keep all the laws of God. If ye sin not, you are obedient to all the prophets have revealed. Sin not is one of the calls to every man and woman of God. To the ones who are born of God and keep sinning, John says, stop it. Please stop it. When it comes to sin, there ought to be a stop sign in the mind and heart of every single believer. The Ten Commandments were given that ye sin not. All the laws of God were given that ye sin not. The Sermon on the Mount that Jesus gave us was written that we sin not. The whole Bible was written that we sin not. Jesus came to earth that we go and sin no more. How can anyone miss it, this message? My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. I shall take you forward now to the First John chapter 3, the third chapter, and verse 8. And here this apostle says, "He that committeth sin is of the devil. For the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil." So if you keep sinning, you really don't know what the Bible is all about. You don't know what Jesus came for. He came to destroy, it says here, the works of the devil, that we may go and sin no more. That's Jesus' expectation. This is why we have these words by John: "He that committeth sin is of the devil." So we don't know how many times the Apostle John heard these words from the lips of Jesus, "Go and sin no more." There are two times of these words recorded in the Bible. As I mentioned earlier, John heard Jesus say to the adulterous woman, "Go and sin no more." He heard Jesus speak these words to the cripple who was healed at the pool of Bethesda, "Go, sin no more." But we don't know how many more dozens of or hundreds of times in 3 years the Apostle John heard Jesus speak these words to people, "Go and sin no more." There's no doubt in my mind that his whole doctrine of "go and sin no more" came out of John's intimate relationship with Jesus as he listened to him teach all over Israel. He heard Jesus say, "Sin no more," so many times that it got into his heart, and this is why he writes this little message, "My little children, I write unto you that you sin no more." Can we really be Christians if we don't hear and heed this message? If we don't strive against sin with all our might? Didn't Paul say that the wages of sin is death? Didn't Ezekiel the prophet say in his 18th chapter, "The soul that sinneth, it shall die"? God does not want us to sin. He doesn't want us to touch sin. He doesn't want us to touch any unholy thing. God said over and over again that we shall not touch the unclean. So if we touch the unclean thing, the unholy, the spiritual life that God gave us will die within us. It is one of the characteristics of the last day church, which is a present church, that she does not accept the message, "Go and sin no more." In the book of the Revelation, we have messages to seven churches, and most scholars I know of consider these seven messages to seven churches as seven successive ages or periods in the history of the church. So this seventh church mentioned in the Revelation is representing the church as it is now, and this church here is called the Church of the Laodiceans. And here are some of the characteristics of this last day church I mentioned. For one thing, it says, and this is Jesus speaking, "I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth." The last day church is characterized as being lukewarm. And Jesus says, "I'll have nothing to do with that kind of a church. I'll spit her out of my mouth. It would be better for her to be cold, to be dead in ritualism, than to be born of God and then cool off to allow sin to coexist with her religious devotion." So one characteristic of the church of the last days is lukewarmness, allowing sin to coexist with religion. Now another characteristic we find of the end time church here in the Revelation is that Jesus says to her, "Because thou sayest, I'm rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked." The church today as a whole, especially in the United States, claims to be a we-have-it-all church. And she looks like she's rich and increased with goods, and she is to a measure. And she says, "I have need of nothing. We have it all." But Jesus says to her, "You're wretched." To the church of this century, Jesus says, "You are wretched, you're miserable, you're poor, you're spiritually bankrupt, you're naked." That means you are immoral. And so as a consequence of this, my friend, we find Jesus in the same chapter here, outside of the church and not inside of the church. Because she's naked, she's lukewarm, and so we find Jesus standing outside of his church saying to her, I'm quoting from verse 20, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him." So we find Jesus in the end time church, which is now outside the professing church, not able to get in because of her lukewarmness, because of her nakedness and spiritual poverty. So he's standing outside of that professing church, knocking on the door, saying, if anybody in there, in her walls, can hear my voice and wants to get saved from sin and sinning, I will save that person and I will come into his life. Oh, what a picture. And this is all because The end time church has not embraced the doctrine of holiness, the doctrine that we are born again in order that we might go and sin no more. Let's go to the second half of this verse of 1 John 2:1, and John says, if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Well, hallelujah. I like this phrase, we have. How much is there in this little phrase, we have? Well, if we sin, what do we have? We have something to help us. We have somebody to help us. And what we have to help us, my friend, here is a person who's called an advocate. An advocate, my friend, is a Fürsprecher. That's a German word. A Fürsprecher is a person who will speak for you, who will intercede for you. He will take your case to the Supreme Judge to see if he can get a pardon for you, to get you back into a right relationship with God. Because you see, it says, if a man sinneth, he shall die. When we sin, a death sentence is hanging over us. We are, so to speak, in the execution chamber. But God's Son, Jesus, comes along and says, listen, I'm your defense attorney. I'm your Fürsprecher. I'm your advocate. Don't you want me to take up your defense? I have access to God the Father, and I shall take your case, your death sentence, to my Father, and I'm going to see if I can get a pardon and acquittal for you. My friend, this defense attorney understands your problem. He knows the power of temptation. He knows the weakness of the flesh. He was tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. He knows how to speak in behalf of us. He knows the importance of justice and holiness that God demands of us. So this defense attorney called Jesus goes to the Father and he says, remember, I died for this sinner. I've already paid the price, for I lived a perfect life. I shed my blood for this sinner. By doing this, I've purchased his forgiveness so he can be restored when he does sin. Here are my scars. There, in my hands, in my feet, in my side. This is what I've done for this man. Will you accept my death, my sacrifice, on behalf of this sinner and grant him forgiveness? Oh, my friend. This is all beautifully illustrated by the words of Charles Wesley in his great hymn, Arise, My Soul, Arise. Let me read the fifth verse of this hymn to you. I wished I could sing it to you. Five bleeding wounds he bears, received on Calvary's tree. They pour effectual prayers. They strongly plead for me. Forgive him, oh forgive, they cry. Forgive him, oh forgive, they cry. Nor let this ransomed sinner die. The Father hears him pray. His dear anointed one. He cannot turn away the presence of his Son. His spirit answers to the blood. His spirit answers to the blood and tells me, I am born of God. And tells me, I am born of God. Praise the Lord. Glory, glory. So, dear ones, the message today is, little children, I write unto you that ye sin not. But if you do, you have an advocate. You have a Fürsprecher. You have a defense attorney who is there to take your case to heaven with his bleeding hands and feet and side, and the Father will hear him on your behalf. Beloved, do not abuse the precious blood of the Lamb. Father, we thank thee for this time together. Get it into our hearts, as it was in the heart of John, this great apostle, that we go and sin no more. You wouldn't have told that to this woman who was an adulteress if she couldn't have obeyed that admonition. You don't tell us to do something which is impossible to do, but you're telling us that which is possible by your grace and mercy. So cleanse us from all unrighteousness, purify our hearts, and help us to develop those habits that will keep us from the wicked one. In the name of Jesus, amen. Thank you for listening to the Called Obedience Radio Ministry, and I'm Pastor Schulze. Goodbye now, until then.